Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way we listen to the world. And this is August 6th, 2024, and I want to shout out to Peggy Reeser. She is the host of Oh My Angels, which is now in the 8 a.m. time slot on Tuesdays. Many of you know that we've done some shaking up, and Kat is now over on Mondays following Mark. So I think Kat is at 10 a.m. on Mondays, and we're going to miss her. I mean, just psychologically, you know, you just feel it in the ethers. Of course, we miss her. But Peggy is joining us on Tuesday mornings. And unfortunately, Peggy was feeling a little under the weather. I guess she's got some, you know, laryngitis and voice issues and didn't really want to start a show when, you know, her voice wasn't as strong as it could be. So she will join us hopefully next week. That's Tuesday, August 13th. So everybody, thank you for being here. Good morning, good afternoon. Sometimes I kind of forget that it's noon on the East Coast, so don't want to always just say good morning. But thank you so much for taking your time today to be with me, whether you're drinking your coffee or having your lunch or just taking a break. I really appreciate it. And on today's show, of course, we're talking astrology, and we are going to do what I'm calling another nod to the yod. Now, we talked about yods last week, which, of course, is an astrological formation, right, of planets. It's a grouping of three planets. But the reason I want to talk about it again is twofold. One, I did get some questions after the show last week. So I thought, you know what, it might be worth going back into this again, because as I said last week, a lot of astrologers don't really give too much time to yods or to inconjuncts, which are the aspects that actually make the yod. And so, you know, for some people, they may go, hey, I've never even heard of this. What are you talking about? But here's the real reason I wanted to make sure we covered this again. And not so much that you just have to become astrologers and understand all the mechanics of a yod, but believe it or not, we started this week with a yod. Because if you remember, we had a new moon on Sunday, August 4th. And as part of that formation, it wasn't the sun or the moon, but we had Venus making an inconjunct with Neptune. And an inconjunct is when planets are in signs that are 150 degrees apart. And what makes that difficult is that the two signs do not share an element. They're not air, fire, water, and they also don't share a modality like being cardinal or fixed or mutable. And just like, you know, here again, we don't want to over-personify the planets, but just like with people, if you have absolutely nothing in common with a person, you know, you could really be struggling to have a conversation. And, you know, looking for what is that thread that we've got in common. Now, of course, you know, I'm not talking metaphysically or spiritually, because in that sense, we've got lots in common. But you know what I'm talking about. You know, you may be at a party or something and you say, hey, wasn't that a great hike at such and such? And somebody's like, no, I don't hike, and whatever. So here again, when we're talking about yods or those inconjuncts, what you're talking about is, imagine that you're sitting at a dinner table or any table, maybe you're having coffee, and there's somebody directly across from you. Well, that would be an opposition in astrology, two signs that are exactly opposites. Now, opposites do share compatibility between their elements. And they do share the modality. So even if we're on opposing teams, we have a lot in common, and we also have a vested interest in bringing those two things together. I mean, think about it. When couples go to restaurants, sometimes they sit side by side, but a lot of times they'll sit across from each other so they can talk, so they can look into each other's eyes. Well, that's an opposition. But move that just one place over. So let's say those two people are sitting at a table, but now there's somebody sitting next door, sitting right next to one of those people. Well, that's an inconjunct, because they're not directly across from the planet. They're just offset by one sign, so to speak. So when you see those 150 degrees, and imagine you have an inconjunct on both sides of that opposition. And so that's what happens when you have a yod. is that you've got one planet that is sitting in an inconjunct on both sides. And so it always involves at least three planets. Now, every once in a while, it could be four. Like if you've got a conjunction going on, it could be four or even more. But usually it's three. It's got to involve three. And two of these planets are what we call sextile. The two that, you know, are sitting on the side of, you know, like where the opposition would be. Now, those two, they've got a lot in common. And they're talking and they're enjoying each other and they know how to support each other. But as they look across that table, they've got nothing in common with that one planet that's sitting alone over there. But the three of these planets, in a sense, all have to figure out how to get along and how to do something. But it automatically creates kind of an uncomfortable or a tense situation. Now, astrologers call the Yod a finger of fate. Sometimes they call it the finger of God. And it's because it's almost like something you can't quite get away from, and you need to resolve it in one way or another. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But in some ways, it can turn out to be fabulous, because it might be the similar, you know, analogy to the pearl that is formed when a piece of sand gets into the shell of, and now I'm even thinking, what is it? You know what I'm talking about, though. You know, it gets into the shell, and so that little sea creature just keeps, you know, spinning, whatever that chemical is, whatever that product is, that biological, until finally that pearl is, that piece of sand is completely covered, and it's a beautiful, beautiful, luminescent pearl, and now it's not uncomfortable anymore. That may be one of the best ways to see a yod. Because, yeah, it's uncomfortable, but we keep working and working and working and finding the beauty or finding a way to live with this uncomfortableness that will actually be to our benefit and to the benefit of other people. So as we've got these planets moving around all the time, you know, eventually some of them move into yods. Now, we see that with the moon a lot, because, of course, that moon is just, it's moving so quickly, so it forms yods routinely, you know, right before it makes an opposition and right after it makes an opposition. And so how many times a month does that happen? It does, and those probably are those moments where emotionally we're a little uncomfortable, we're having a hard time kind of putting something together, somebody didn't smile at us, something just didn't feel quite right. And we pay attention to those, but not so much. But every once in a while, we have other planets, what I would consider slower moving planets, some of those outer planets that get involved in some of these yods. And that is what gets my attention. So last week during that full moon, we had a setup where Venus was in conjunct Neptune. Neptune, the planet of imagination, dreams, illusions, you know, spirituality, what I consider some of the higher values like compassion, forgiveness, you know, our ability to transcend the physical world. Now imagine Venus, what do I find attractive? Well, there's some wonderful combinations of Venus and Neptune. And by the way, I do have some quotes by people, and I'll give those at the end of the show, just demonstrating that some of that kind of energy can just work magic in our world. But it can also be really disconcerting, because think about Venus. You know, she says, this is attractive, or this is what I want. Well, maybe she's getting confused by that Neptune. Maybe, you know, she gets into that dreamscape, and she doesn't really know what is what, you know, which way is up. Or maybe she's really believing somebody is somebody they're not, or maybe she's making a bad investment because she thinks this financially is going to really work out, and it doesn't. But anyway, Venus was in conjunct Neptune. But then on Monday morning, just in a sense hours after she was in conjunct Neptune, she moved into an in conjunct with Pluto, the transformer. So that was a powerful energy between Sunday night and pretty much all day Monday. Now, Venus moves pretty quickly. So there again, I'm not going to say she was in and out, but she kind of was. But I also want you to know that that energy, a lot of times, whatever got started, whatever kind of happened around that time, that might have been a major aha moment. It could have been a revelation. And I personally felt, truthfully, yesterday afternoon, there was some stuff going on, and it just felt like, okay, are we going to go through this again? You know, family drama, right? And I just kind of reached for what I consider to be my spiritual tools. And I just said, okay, you know, I don't want to get all upset about this. I don't want to get all wrapped up in this. There's got to be another way to do this. And I just persevered in terms of, okay, just settle down, just listen, just pay attention and just listen. And you know what? It really worked. Sometimes it doesn't, because sometimes I just can't get my mind out of it. But yesterday it really did. And I thought, you know, it's almost like, I've heard the analogy and I think this is true. It's almost like you feel like you're in prison, you know, and there you have no control and you know, nothing is working for you, but mostly you just don't have any control. These feelings, this stuff happens and all of a sudden you're the victim. But then you get the time out in the yard. You know, it's kind of like, I'm just going to escape. I'm just going to go out into the exercise yard. And imagine just walking out, or even walking out of the prison door, just walking out into the sunshine. And is there a moment of escape? Now, another analogy that I love using that comes from A Course in Miracles is when they talk about, you know, leave the battlefield. You know, just walk away from the battlefield for a few minutes. And I know sometimes we do that anyway. It's kind of an escape. But there's also a really valid reason to just go, you know what? I'm really getting embroiled in this. I'm really getting caught up. And in my mind, even if I can't do it physically, in my mind, I am just going to walk away for a few minutes. Just going to walk away. And I'm just going to breathe. Just going to sit here imagining myself sitting in the sunshine or whatever you do. Everybody kind of has their own. I mean, I really encourage people to, in their minds, build that safe space. You know, maybe it's a beach. Maybe it's something that you've seen on vacation. Maybe it's something that you see every day. But what is it that you go, okay, I'm just going to put myself there. Just for this moment, I'm going to put myself there. I remember what it felt like to be sitting on that warm beach at night. I remember what it was like listening to the waves, or I remember what it was like at the top of that mountain after that beautiful hike. Whatever it is, just transport yourself there in your mind and learning to be able to find that respite, find that place within yourself. Well, that's what happened for me yesterday. And I thought, so here again, Venus and Pluto. Pluto says, I can transform. But you've got to listen to me, or you've got to, you know, you've got to play nice, Venus and Pluto. You've just got to play nice together. So this week, that's what we started with. But what's incredible to me as an astrologer, and obviously I watched this stuff pretty carefully, is we started the week with a yod, where Venus wasn't just in conjunct one planet. She was in conjunct two at the same time. There was an overlap. And that's what made the yod. Like I said, it looks astrologically, if you imagine a chart, it looks like a really skinny triangle, right? Because it's not quite that opposition. It's on either side of it. But then at the end of the week, on Friday, we're going to have another yod. And this one involves the sun. And the sun is all about ego, right? So the sun in astrology is a very, very important planet. It's not the only one, but it's our sense of identity, our sense of who we are and ourself. And that can be at the core of so many things that happen for us in our lives, is what is our identity? How do we see ourselves? How much attention or credit do we give for what other people see in us? You know, are we one of those people, I don't care, you know, and I wear what I want and I do what I want and I don't care what you think? Or are we one of those people that are very vulnerable or sensitive to how other people see us? Well, that sun is in Leo, which means that all of us are going through that particular transition right now where we're really looking for authentic self-expression. And I think we've talked about this on the show, but if I haven't, what I've noticed recently, now I've noticed it actually the last few years, but very recently with the sun in Leo, is how many people have said something to me about, I just want to be heard. I just want to be seen. It's like people aren't paying attention to me. And now all of a sudden that becomes really important. You know, in previous times they're like, oh yeah, that's how that person is or blah, blah, blah. Well, with Sun and Leo, we become a lot more sensitive maybe to, you know, are we getting our time in the sun? Are we getting our time being on center stage if we want to be on center stage? You know, are people listening to us? Are we having the opportunity to say what we want to say or to express ourselves, especially in an authentic way? It's about self-confidence. So we're already, you know, with the sun in Leo, thinking about some of these things, thinking about what we want to accomplish. Well, you know, how do we want to shed light in the world? I definitely see Leo. I mean, all the fire signs, but Leo in particular, I see this as a sign that it's almost like they're carrying a lamp. And they've got to find that inner light because they are shedding light for all these other people or light on the path. See it that way. And not everybody's going to follow them. Not everybody is going to learn or benefit maybe from the light that they're casting. But when we choose to be vessels, channels, and let that divine light, or whatever you want to call it, come through us, that authentic light, we're going to attract certain people into our lives. And those are the exact people that need to be in our lives at that moment, even though sometimes we may not quite know that. We may kind of wonder, well, you know, what's that person coming for? But people are attracted to the light. They want to be inspired just like Leo wants to be inspired. So here on Friday, we have the sun moving into and in conjunct with Saturn, the planet of authority, the planet where we step into our power. So will there be situations in which we automatically that gets challenged? Of course. Because maybe we even thought we had a great relationship with a boss or we, you know, or things with our parents, and all of a sudden then something comes up and we go, ooh, this didn't feel comfortable. Which brings me to what yods feel like. They feel uncomfortable, almost like submerged rocks that we know they're there, but we don't want to have to like step on them, or if we're canoeing, we don't want to scrape the bottom of the canoe on them. But when we do, we go, oh yes, there that is again. So will that come up? It very likely will. But just like other things in life, when we see it again for the second time, for the 100th time, for the 1,000th time, we have an opportunity to basically go, I recognize this. And now I have more tools to deal with it. Or I know a better way to handle this situation. Now, the way this becomes a yod is actually very, very quick, because the moon is the other planet. On Friday, the moon is also going to be in conjunct. Now, the moon is sitting over in Libra, and it's going to be in conjunct Saturn and Pisces at the same time that the sun is also in conjunct Saturn. Now, what's going to happen, though, is, you know, the moon, it moves very, very quickly. So the yod itself is going to dissipate, I think, pretty quickly. But what isn't going to dissipate quickly is the sun's in conjunct with Saturn. I think we're going to feel that well into Sunday. And that probably is the bigger, the more important, the more established kind of energy that it could, you know, has a possibility of creating changes in our lives, or has a possibility of helping us step into our power, our authority in a new way that maybe we haven't before. And there again, but it might be precipitated by an event that feels uncomfortable. In fact, it probably will. And you know, have you had those experiences, and I figure you have, where, you know, I always think back to junior high or high school, you know, those really vulnerable times when, you know, somebody was kind of mean to us, or they just were constantly picking on us, or whatever it was, and all of a sudden we stand up to them, or we know what to do to kind of get this bully off our backs. And boy, does that feel good. And it doesn't mean that we have done something really negative. We just all of a sudden say, you know what? I'm not going to take this anymore. Like that movie. I'm not going to take this anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore. And so if you're having those moments, especially on Friday with that yacht or through next weekend, yeah, could there be some uncomfortable times when all of a sudden, or not all of a sudden, I want to quit saying that, because with the yacht, it's always been there. It's kind of submerged. Like I said, it's something you go, oh, there's that experience again, or there's that feeling again. But the wonderful part is when you feel it, you go, okay, I'm better equipped this time. I'm better equipped to deal with this. I know what to do. And this may be the time that I truly have a victory over this situation in my life. The next time that person, you know, kind of shuts me down, or the next time that person, you know, I feel that way as a result. I feel less than. I feel that Saturn kind of limitation. I know what to do with it. But the other thing is, I feel like with Saturn, I personally love Saturn because I think Saturn is a planet that helps us establish guidelines and rules and limits, because that's how we get things done. Saturn is the great manifester. So that's why I wanted to talk about the yachts today. And I've got more. We're going to talk more. But that's why it came up again. I thought, you know, to start a week and to end a week with a yacht involving fairly important planets, Venus, Neptune, and Pluto, and then the Sun with Saturn, I thought, okay, I just can't ignore that, especially in a week where other things are going on. Like, for instance, the Sun is in a really good situation with Jupiter tomorrow. So that's the opportunity to grab onto some opportunities or some wonderful things that could happen. Mercury is going to be conjunct. It's going to be sitting right with Venus tomorrow. Maybe we'll have the chance to express something or to talk about something that really matters to us. So, of course, there's other things going on this week. We're in the first week of the lunar cycle. That's always a positive thing, where we're really establishing or initiating or getting going on something. But it's those two yods, like bookends at the beginning and the end of this week, that I thought, you know, it's worth just talking about it, like I said, not to become these adept astrologers, but to just understand what the energy is likely to feel like. And in some ways, it's deja vu, but I think it's the opportunity to learn something via the cosmos. So this week's mantra is learning to turn an oppressive situation into one of freedom and liberation. You know, figure out how to grapple with and grab, you know, especially that Saturn. And to me, it's like being faithful to where you are now, because you can learn from it. And true to course, you know, how things, they just come up once you're willing to think about them or see them. Something I was reading and listening to the other day was so emphasizing that, okay, we're in a situation and we don't like it. But instead of saying something like, fake it, till you bake it, which, by the way, I don't think Saturn probably really subscribes to that philosophy. But instead of just trying to wiggle out of it, you know, because once again, a yod feels uncomfortable. So instead of going, oh, I just need to get out of here. You know, I just need to change something. I need to what I call the geographical cure, which, by the way, when you want to move, when you want to do something different, when you want to get a new job, you want to, you know, get together with somebody, or maybe you want to end a relationship, or maybe you want to move. It's not that I'm saying those are bad things. I'm talking about by the geographical cure. When you think, I mean, classically, the first time I heard it, it had to do with drinking. People that had a drinking problem and were convinced, oh, well, if I can just move away from my family, or if I could just move where nobody knew me, or if I can just change, you know, my job or where I'm living, then the problem's going to go away. And of course, it does not, because you take the problem with you. That's what I'm talking about, the geographical cure. But of course, if we feel uncomfortable, you know, once again, I've told you that I think the yod, and I didn't make this up, it's like a rock in your shoe. It's uncomfortable. So you keep shaking your foot, or you take off the shoe and you rearrange your sock or whatever it is. You're doing that so that you can relieve the discomfort. And of course, that's what we want to do. But ultimately, it's about getting the rock out of our shoe. It's about really going after what's happening. But you know, sometimes we can't. There are things, we live in a material universe, and as long as we believe that, if we believe in the material universe, then there are going to be some things that we can't change. There are going to be some things that feel like rocks in the shoe. There are going to be some things that feel uncomfortable. And sometimes it really is worth making kind of a minor adjustment. But the more we can just deal with what is and just learn from it, the better. And that's what this author, this person was talking about that I was listening to the other day. He said, why don't you just learn from the situation you're in right now instead of spending so much time trying to get out of the situation? Now, once again, that doesn't apply to every single thing. It doesn't mean you stay in an abusive relationship. But what it says is, you know, the minute that something isn't easy, the minute that something just is uncomfortable, can you just kind of learn to deal with what the discomfort is? And even look at yourself. And this goes back to basic awareness, which I talk about a lot because it's observation. Just observe yourself. What are you feeling? What are you thinking? So often I think we want this set of principles, like do this and this and this and this and this will change. Do this and this and this. Well, you know what? Just being aware of what you're feeling and what you're thinking is the first step for anything to change. And sometimes I don't think we even need to know exactly how it's going to change. Maybe all we need to know is I don't like this and I am open to something else. You know, awareness of where we are, just trying to be aware and say, yeah, I feel this and I don't like this feeling. And so I want to attract to myself another way of being in the world, another way of being with people, because I don't want to go through this misery anymore, that kind of thing. So as we're looking at these yods, they really do reflect some really basic, in a sense, spiritual or psychological principles. You know, these two planets, they're getting along great, but it feels like they're ganging up on that third planet. And once again, this is considered a minor aspect, meaning that it's not the trine, the opposition, the sextile, some of those ones we talk about all the time, like a conjunction. It's considered by astrologers to be minor. Now, because of that, though, it needs to be really tight. So if you're pulling out that chart and looking at it, you know, and saying, oh, I've got a yod because these are 150 degrees. It needs to be really, really close to 150, like 149, 150, 151. Needs to be very tight, only within 1 or 2 degrees. Most astrologers, and I would agree with this, you don't want to have these wide orbs and saying, okay, this is kind of in the vicinity. And with these particular ones, we're not, I'm sticking to that rule. It's got to be within 1, maybe up to 2, but no further than that. So that's why I say with the moon, it's really only on Friday. And with the sun, it lasts into Sunday, but just barely. And when it's over, maybe its effect isn't over, but the actual yod is over. And once again, when you hear yod, when you hear in conjunct, we often feel kind of compulsive around it. Those are descriptors we usually use, like tension and strain and contradiction. Uneasiness is what I'd say, very much. Or maybe we feel like there's a paradox, like both these things can't be true. And that, you know, in a sense, that is exactly what's going on. Those two planets that are sextile are going, hey, this is what's going on. They're agreeing on something, and the third planet isn't. But but they each have a voice. They each have a right to their opinion. But we're sitting in the middle somewhere going, how can this both be true? Well, you know, sometimes it is that both of them are true. And we don't see a bigger picture that can encompass both those energies. Because do you realize, think about that. If you're looking tiny, tiny, if you're just focusing on a very, very, very small point, you don't see the context of what's going on around it. And if you see the bigger context, then you may be going, oh, I see how this fits into this picture. And just think about that. If you take a photograph and maybe you blow it up And so all you see is this little kid with this frightened look on their face, right? Or whatever. Then you kind of go back out again and you see that they're seeing something that's a big surprise to them. And maybe it's not that their look was frightened. Maybe they were just surprised. You know, there's a different way of interpreting it when you look at a different context. So that's the other thing the Yod probably helps us do, is try to take a bigger perspective, putting things into a perspective that maybe we couldn't see, not assuming that we know exactly what's going on. But here again, if you were born with a Yod, I think they act kind of like background noise. And even in our lives, you know, they act like, you know, like I said, they're kind of like submerged rocks in the river. But what happens, and I use this analogy, you know how at the end of Gone with the Wind, Scarlett O'Hara says, I'm going to think about that tomorrow. Well, if you have a yacht in your chart, you may do that about certain things in your life, going, I'm going to think about that tomorrow. But what the yacht does by transit, when it comes right into our face, when Venus is in conjunct Pluto, when the Sun is in conjunct Saturn, all of a sudden, the yacht and or those in conjuncts are going, guess what, guys? This is tomorrow. You got to think about this. You've got to, you know, you've got to at least play with this energy and see where it's taking you. So when you look, the other thing we can look at is we can look at the signs, the meaning of the planets, but certainly the signs. Because when Venus made that first in conjunct with Neptune, she was in Leo. You know, it's about self-confidence and wanting to be a performer. But when she made the second in conjunct, just less than 24 hours later, she had moved into Virgo. And Virgo is that analytical, conscientious, service-oriented sign. So there's all kinds of associations. Like, for instance, you know, it could even be a move where somebody realizes, I have been very, very self-absorbed. You know, maybe one of the shadows of Leo. And I haven't been paying nearly enough attention to some of the things that are important to me, or to some of the people, the relationships that are important to me. Maybe I haven't been paying enough attention to my work because I've been in vacation mode with the Sun in Leo, you know, and all this Venus in Leo too. So there's lots of associations. And here again, you can play with astrology by, you know, having a list of words that have to do with the Sun, a list of words that have to do with Saturn, a list of words that have to do with the, you know, the signs like Pisces or the Sun in Leo. And how do those all fit together? So, you know, Venus is about love and romance and relationships and finances and resources, but it's about what we find attractive. So Leo, when she was in Leo, it's about our appearance, our hair, self-expression. Partnership is very important to Leo. But once Venus flipped into Virgo, you know, there's a different passion maybe. It's about honesty and integrity and kind of a leaning into work. You know, how can I channel my expertise into something that's of service in the world, into work? What are the principles that I want to live up to? You know, and am I taking personal responsibility? And of course, that Pluto in Aquarius was really saying, I think in big, big, you know, letters, change is inevitable. You either change or you'll be changed. Nothing less than transformation. There's no going back. This is a rebirth. And so although this energy can be very daunting, and I think personal truths come to us during these yods, we're willing to accept them. And if we are, that's where we go back to kind of the motto of the week. We can turn what feels maybe like a limiting or an oppressive, inevitable kind of situation into a path of freedom and liberation. Maybe from some things that were really holding us back. It can make this passage, this maybe kind of difficult or tricky period, easier when we see maybe that there's a purpose for it and that we're up to it. That's it. There's a purpose. We can do this. And so it's not always easy. Like I said, I think sometimes you see those yod and you go, oh, let's get past those, because it's uncomfortable. But using our discomfort, using when something just doesn't quite feel right, it leads us to truth. Like, you know, even think about just that concept. I've had a number of times in my life when something was going on, and I would call it cognitive dissonance because it just wasn't adding up. It's like there were these two issues or three issues or whatever, and I'm going, these don't all fit together. These conclusions that people are drawing, they're not right. I've had it in my personal life, and I've had it in my professional life. Like, literally, professionally, where I would argue with a statistician. I mean, somebody who had a PhD in stats, which I didn't, and I kept telling him the formula was wrong, and he kept saying, how? Why? And I could not tell him. I call that intuition, and I also call it work experience, because I don't have a PhD in statistics. I'm not that kind of mathematician. And he kept saying, well, I don't see why this doesn't work. And I go, I can't tell you in your terms. I can't use your words. And that became the real problem between us, is that I couldn't use the words to convince him. But I continually kept arguing and saying, this is not going to work. In this particular research study, we were randomizing people into a fairly significant study. And I said, it's not going to work. They're not going to go into random groups. And he kept insisting they would. Well, so I agreed. I said, okay, well, after 2 weeks, guess what? They weren't going into randomized groups. And then we sat down. I said, I still can't tell you why, but I can show you with actual people. Using this criteria, they are not going to randomize. And then he goes, oh, you know, and we fixed it. And quite truthfully, his calculations were not incorrect, but his instructions were. So once again, when he was interpreting to me how to apply his formula, his instructions were wrong. And so if I used his instructions, and that's what he said, he goes, oh, well, these instructions don't fit the calculations. And I go, okay, thank goodness, because this isn't working. But my point is, that's if we feel uncomfortable. But it's okay to say, I'm uncomfortable. This doesn't fit. And sometimes it will lead us to, you know, sometimes it's a metaphysical truth. I've had that happen too, where I'm just going, okay, it's not comfortable. There's something wrong. I don't know what it is. I don't know what the words are. I can't explain it maybe to somebody, but I know it's just not right. And you know what? But to just sit in the discomfort and just say, you know what I need to know is going to come to me. I'm going to figure this out. One way or another, I'm going to attract the information. I'm going to attract the person who can explain it. I'm going to attract what I need. And so discomfort doesn't have to be such a negative thing in our lives. Not at all. Because it can lead us to a better place. So once again, even though, like I said, I don't subscribe to a geographical cure, I think you can use discomfort and other things in your life to make significant changes. I'm not against change. I love change, right? I mean, I truly do. And that, I think it's the way of the world. It's the way our lives work. So I'm not against that. I just think we need to, you know, to think about it. Now, for a second, I'm going to jump over to our chat room over on Facebook and say hello. Hey, Kay, thank you for being here today. And Anne and James and Quelly and Lioness Maureen, thank you very much for posting in the chat room today. And Renee, always here. Thank you so much. And here again, like I said, I got some comments last week. I still am having a difficulty really responding to things because I get kicked off when I do. I guess I'm too controversial by saying hello, you know, or those kinds of things. But you can also, by the way, you know, you can write me through Click for Advisor, the One to Listen system. You can always message me. And quite truthfully, you can also message my private email, which is Simple Tales. Remember the show name I used to have? SimpleTales@Comcast.net. You can always write me there and say, hey, what were you talking about with blah, blah, blah? Or I'd like to hear more about this on the show, that kind of thing. But anyway, I did get some comments last week. So that's why I wanted to go through the yachts again. And so in any case, thank you for being over there in the chat room. I really appreciate that. And just wanted to acknowledge you today. So as we're going through this, you know, this week, though, I want to remind you, we've got a lot of cosmic help as we're trying to unravel some of these things with the yachts, because Mars and Jupiter in Gemini, Gemini is it's intellectual. It's social. It likes to talk. It's about finding options and changes and different, you know, Gemini, it wants to gather all that information. It's insatiably curious. We have both Mars, the planet of energy and action, and Jupiter, the planet of expansion, in Gemini. So we're talking, we're discussing, we're proposing things, we're rolling things over and looking at them and changing our minds and all kinds of things. I just think that's a big help, because there again, we don't need to feel stuck. There's another way to look at it. And also Mercury, along with multiple other planets at this point, I think we have at least four planets retrograde, because Mercury is retrograde, and because it's in the sign of Virgo, it's in one of its home signs. This is a powerful tool for gaining new perspectives, for looking at something from a different point of view. You go to the left, you go to the right, up, down, whatever. You can see something from a different point of view. So once again, I know people complain about the retrogrades, and it's not just Mercury retrograde, but every single time a planet is retrograde, it's just giving us a different point of view. And once again, try to embrace it like a dance. Dancing wouldn't be that much fun if the only thing you could do is step forward. You know, you couldn't do sideways, couldn't make those arms go up and down, etc. Well, those retrogrades remind us that seeing things from a different perspective can be fun. Yes, we can go backwards, we can go sideways, we can go all different ways, we can go up and down and get a bird's eye view of something, especially with Mercury and Virgo. Now it is going to back into Leo, because there again, we need to pick up something we didn't see. Maybe it does have to do with our self-confidence or our personal self-expression. It's gonna back into Leo. But that Mercury retrograde is actually our friend. It is an opportunity to correct something, to change something, to fix something, to renovate something in our lives. And it's very helpful with these yods. And I think Venus herself, now in Virgo, is also helpful, because once again, what does she find attractive? Well, she's sitting in a very analytical sign ruled by Mercury. So she's got a cool head. She's systematic. She's approaching things from a very, in a sense, scientific way. So Venus is going, okay, nothing to get upset about here, folks. Let's just look at this. Let's be maybe a little more serious, a little more dedicated, a little more just, let's take it one step at a time. You know, she's like Saturn. Saturn is not her ruler, but she likes Saturn. She likes that sense of, hey, let's just figure this out. Let's take it slow. Let's see what's going on here. But the most important thing is being the neutral observer. You know, being willing to say, you know what, this planet Saturn on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, when it's feeling uncomfortable with my sun, my sense of self, it's my opportunity to look at, where maybe have I given my personal power and authority to somebody else? Where have I given them permission to define me or to decide if I'm doing the right thing or the wrong thing? And there again, I think there's lots of times we give in to people, especially in relationships, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's what it's about. It's about compromise. It's about learning to live together peacefully. But Saturn is about living on purpose. You know, you're going to hear me say that all the time, because Saturn always says, you know, its motto is, what is your purpose? What's your intention here? What are you trying to accomplish? What's your strategy? What are you doing? And so Saturn's always asking us, and not to be mad, you know, to be mean. It's not, you know, the same thing as a father. What's your purpose? What's your purpose? Or your mother or whatever. But it is, and it feels that way, but it's because it's saying, have you gotten off track? Remember your purpose, because when you remember, if you have a guiding principle, if you have a purpose, then every single thing you do in life, you can say, does this make this happen or not? Is this in alignment or not? Does this make me happier or not? You can use that as a guiding principle. And I think sometimes that's where we start flailing. We almost forget what our guiding principles are. And the clearer we can be on that, then we can really assess something. Does this get me closer to my goal? And remember, those goals can be, I want to feel peaceful. I want to feel content. I want to feel happy. I want to feel like life is worth living. Well, does this help that or not? So that's what Saturn is helping us do, is get more in touch with our purpose, especially when it's in conjunct the Sun, the planet of ego. So once again, as we look at some of these things, that Saturn in Pisces is encouraging us, in a sense, to kind of look deeper with that Sun in Leo, but also the Moon in Libra. And I kind of see it as what it says is, don't get deceived by appearances. And I say that because both Leo and Libra, you know, are very much into appearances. What do I look like? What does my hair look like? What is my, you know, what am I wearing? Does it make me look good? Because we're performers. We want to be on stage. We want to be performers. We want to be in the spotlight. You know, the Sun in Leo is gold and glitz and sparkles and all of those kinds of things. Nothing wrong with that. But I think Saturn in Pisces in particular, that, you know, that level that's not material, is saying, don't get trapped by it. Don't believe that appearances are everything that there is. And see, with the Libra moon, of course we love the Libra moon. It's, you know, it's a sign of relationships. But at what cost? You know, and what I think of sometimes with the Libra is, we are just determined to make everything look so pretty, so wonderful. You know, we're not going to, you know, there used to be an expression, I haven't heard anybody say it in a long time, but don't air your dirty laundry. That's it. Don't tell anybody that there's a fight in the family. Don't tell anybody that you're not getting along with your mate. Don't tell anybody that there's something not quite beautiful or wonderful going on here. And personally, I mean, I've seen it happen so often. And there again, with my friends or with couples, it's not like you have to just say every single thing that's going on and oh yeah, I'm miserable. But on the other hand, if you are going to great lengths to make everything on the outside look perfect, when it's not, then you're spending a whole lot of energy on superficiality. And it's time maybe to look at, how can I feel more peaceful? How can I really be more harmonious? How can this feel better? But because I think what happens, especially when we get to Friday with that, is the word that came into my mind is facade. You know, with Leo and Libra, sometimes we're creating this facade of beauty, of image that we want people to believe. And once again, I don't think that you should not do that, but I think Saturn is just being much more brazen and just going, okay, cut the crap, you know, go to a deeper level. And that's why I say, I don't think Saturn really would subscribe to fake it till you make it. Saturn would say, no, enough of this superficial stuff. Let's really make it. Let's really do something. Let's settle whatever's going on. And an analogy I used in the Power Peak, you know, anybody can wear a Peace Now t-shirt. Anybody can do that. But if you really want peace, or if you want to feel peaceful, if you want to feel more content, then maybe you're going to have to look at your behavior. You know, how do you deal with a cranky neighbor? How do you deal with that person who cuts you off in traffic? How do you, you know, how do you work with just even that stranger that doesn't do what you want? And more than that, how do you deal with relatives, family, you know, people that are in your life on a day-to-day basis that you do love? You're glad they're there, but man, you're just really having a problem with them, either now or forever you're having a problem. How do you deal with them? Because wearing a Peace Now t-shirt doesn't do it, you know, which Libra and Leo, by the way, in some ways would subscribe to. But Saturn and Pisces is going, no, you got to look at what's going on underneath. You know, what is it that you really want to bring forth? And there again, doesn't mean you can't wear the Peace Now t-shirt. You're saying, this is what I stand for. This is what I want. But for the most part, you know, I would say most spiritual disciplines say, if you can't find peace within yourself, you're never going to find it in the world. And that applies to almost everything that we do or see. So Saturn is saying, hey guys, this is an internal job. It's time to maybe do some shadow work. And that starts with simple observation. Simple observation. And I'd also remind you that Saturn is aligned with Capricorn. And you know what that animal is? The mountain goat. And so when you think about that mountain goat is like saying, I know this is tough. I can take these steps. I may have an advisor. I may have, you know, a team. I may have some other people that are backing me up. But ultimately, I can do this. And I'm going to prove to myself I can do this because I'm going to have a purpose. I'm going to have a strategy. And I'm going to take this one bite at a time. Right? I'm going to do this. So maybe the mountain goat or kind of aligning yourself with a power animal, a power totem would also help because, you know, and I remind you with Capricorn, they are team players, but ultimately they want to know that they can take care of themselves. They want that sense of self-assuredness, self-confidence. I can do this. I'm not dependent on somebody else coming along and fixing me, making everything okay. You know, I don't want to feel vulnerable. I don't want to feel weak. That's Capricorn. And that is Saturn. So that's part of what's going on. Now, I realize we didn't get to any of the quotes. Maybe I'll just give you a couple, but I'll throw some of these out and maybe even next week we'll talk about them. But, you know, like people that have Venus in conjunct Neptune include people like Betty Ford and Walt Disney. Now, Betty Ford, of course, became an icon because, you know, she basically was an alcoholic in the White House, but she turned it for good. Remember, she opened the Betty Ford Center. And of course, Walt Disney, what I remember so much about him is that he actually got a lot of criticism for all the money, all the resources he was throwing into this idea, this kind of fantasy Disneyland, right? And it paid off, obviously. But that might have been tough to have Venus in conjunct Neptune because he was holding on to what he thought was the way to go. Now, other people, Gandhi has Venus in conjunct Neptune. Rod Stewart does too. And Rod Stewart said, only a fool permits the letter of the law to override the spirit of the heart. And Michael Moore, the movie maker, he has his Venus in conjunct Neptune. But then what I, you know, and Venus in conjunct Pluto, Agatha Christie. And in fact, one person who's interesting here is John Belushi, because he not only has his Venus in conjunct Pluto, but he also had Sun in conjunct Saturn. And so one of his quotes is, or I'm going to say a couple of his quotes, and I know we need to quickly wrap this up. But he said, I want to do a romantic comedy that nobody thought I could do, and then do a comedy with Dan Aykroyd that's totally different from the Blues Brothers. I'm a comic actor, but I'm an actor too. Now, I love that because, it, you know, to me, that's the Venus-Pluto thing. You know, I really want to change this up. I want to show a whole different side. I want to have a transformation here. He also said, some comedians love their characters. I don't fall in love with mine. In fact, I get tired of them very fast. That may be Venus in conjunct Pluto. And he says, you have to be willing to throw it all away. That's definitely Venus in conjunct Pluto. But also, just on that note, if you have never seen John Belushi's movie, Continental Divide. I just want to put a plug out there. It's a 1981 movie, very, very old movie, but it is wonderful, incredible scenery, and totally delightful, but showing him not as a comedian, but as a serious actor, and it's wonderful. So I have a lot more quotes because, you know, Clint Eastwood, and like I said, I may share some of these for next week. But because the other thing that intrigued me, Fred Astaire, Bob Fosse, and Martha Graham, all famous for dancing, being choreographers, they all were born with the Sun in conjunct Saturn. So see, it's not a curse. There's something we can do with this. You know, these people who, I mean, when you think about dance, every single one of their quotes has to do with, you know, you don't take it easy. You practice, 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 and you keep working, working, working until you get it right. That is Sun in conjunct Saturn. So we got to wrap this up today. I hope you have enjoyed the show. There again, if you have some questions, please let me know. But this is going to be a great week. We're going to have some wonderful energy. And this yod may make you uncomfortable. Both of these yods may make you uncomfortable. But the minute you say I'm uncomfortable, that's a good thing because it tells you it's time to make a move. It's time to shift your weight, time to shift something in your life. And you can do that. You can do that with simple awareness. So everybody, thanks for joining me today. To all the listeners and to everybody in the chat room, and thanks to our producer, Jay Barbell. And please stay tuned, because up next is Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone. This is CA signing out. You can find me on 12listen.com. If you don't see me as available, please don't hesitate to ask for a scheduled call on a day and time that's good for you, or just say call back. And if I'm available, I will sign on and we will connect. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology on 12 Radio, where we are changing the way you think about and listen to Yods.